harassment on the air. Have you seen this?
Okay, I missed that one, Luke. You're going to have to bring us up to speed.
You can go over to Crooks and Liars. They've got the tape. He had it was about I can't think of it. All of a sudden, it's about somebody some inappropriate talking about.
Next. This is the Quality News Network. Former top White House aide and now convicted felon Scooter Libby has been fingerprinted and had his mugshot taken. After 10 days of deliberations, a Washington, D.C. jury found Libby guilty of 4 out of 5 charges for which he was tried. Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff faces 25 years in prison for perjury and obstruction of justice. He remains out on bail until his sentencing in June. In Jakarta, an Indonesian passenger jet overshot a runway and burst into flames, killing at least 23 of the 140 people aboard. 96 passengers were injured. Officials say the plane was traveling too fast. Third major plane crash in Indonesia in as many months. In Iraq today, Shia worshippers were again attacked while on a religious pilgrimage. At least 11 were killed, 14 were wounded. Yesterday, 150 Iraqi pilgrims were killed in sectarian violence. 50 want U.S. troops to withdraw from Iraq within the year. That's according to the most recent NBC poll. Only 28% of those surveyed say they think the war is winnable. In Moscow, a prominent Russian journalist in Kremlin mysteriously fell out of his apartment window and was killed. U.S. intelligence agents and other reporters are calling Ivan Safronov's death murder. At the time of his death, Safronov was investigating Russian arms sales to Iran and Syria. He is the 14th journalist to die under suspicious circumstances since Vladimir Putin became president. In Washington, several recently fired U.S. attorneys told congressional committees Republican lawmakers pressured them to make political decisions on criminal indictments. The attorneys also testified a Justice Department official warned them not to talk to anyone about their dismissals. In Vermont last night, 32 towns passed resolutions urging the impeachment of President Bush for his handling of the war in Iraq. At least 16 towns also adopted resolutions to immediately withdraw U.S. troops. Vintner Ernest Gallo has died in his Modesto, California home. He was 97. Gold is trading at $649.50 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your need. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-87, 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
A small wetland bird unseen for nearly 130 years has been rediscovered in Thailand. The large-billed reed warbler was last seen in India in 1867. Customers of AT&T and Verizon Wireless can now program their TiVos remotely using their cell phones. Sprint Nextel plans to offer the same service next month. Bausch & Lomb is recalling several lots of its Renew MultiPlus contact lens solution. The company says the product is not dangerous to users, but elements in the solution may result in a discolored fluid and a reduced shelf life. Two models of automatic defibrillators distributed to fire department schools and health clubs worldwide are being recalled due to software problems. Defib Tech and Revive R may fail to indicate they have low batteries and are therefore inoperable. Both Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are planning to introduce soft drinks fortified with vitamins and minerals this year. Coca-Cola's drink will be called Diet Coke Plus. PepsiCo's product will be called Tava. The companies will market the drinks as sparkling beverages instead of soda in an effort to attract health food advocates. According to job recruitment website Monster, Phoenix is the best major city in America to look for employment. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.87 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm at...
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, wake up, everybody. Come on, 1, 2, 1, 2, out of bed. Come on. Come on. All right, time for calisthenics. Everybody, jumping jacks. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. You over there, I didn't see you do a jumping jack. I'm watching you. Give me your jumping jack. There you go. How's everybody doing this morning? Time to get up. Time to, face the world. Face up to reality, ladies and gentlemen. As always, when I say wake up, I mean not just wake up physically, because most of you are awake already. In New York, it's 10 o'clock, for crying out loud. And out in L.A., you're at 7 o'clock, so, you know, yeah, whatever. Sometimes you're awake. I don't know. Do people get up at 7 in L.A.? I have no idea. I only spent a few weeks in L.A. But here in Chicago, it is just after 9 o'clock a.m. We had a little snow last night. And my roommate is like, what's going on here? This is not supposed to be happening in March. According to him, it doesn't snow in March. But it's like winter season has moved over a few weeks, according to my roommate. Because he says it snows a bit in December and stuff, and we really didn't get a big snow until late December, and it snowed a little bit in January, and in February it's been snowing, and now March has come along, and we thought that, at least he thought, that it wasn't going to happen anymore, and it happened. So here we go. We had about an inch of fresh powder, and I actually went into did my day job last night, so I had to come home in the snow, but it wasn't bad, because the temperature wasn't, you know, it was in like the 20s, I guess, and that's comfortable. And for you guys down in the South, I say, what, are you kidding me? The 20s, that's not comfortable for anybody. What are you talking about? And it's like, well, you know, I'm happy with the 20s. I can put on a sweater and a jacket and my little fuzzy cap and some gloves, and I'm just fine. Doesn't bother me that much. Now, when it gets to, you know, in the negatives, especially in the negative teens, and you go out and you got the wind blowing right in your face, and Chicago isn't called the Windy City for nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Then you can really feel it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I spoke yesterday, and I just, again, want to remind you to think about this every day. I want you to imagine every single day when you wake up that George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, the entire Bush administration, as a matter of fact, the Republican leadership and their financial backers are all in your room with a gun to your head, grabbing for your wallet, stealing from you, because that's exactly what they're doing. When you go to work every day, ladies and gentlemen, they are stealing from you. They are stealing from you on multiple levels. They are stealing from you 24/7. And I am just here to remind you of that. And they do it in a lot of different ways. They do it by raising the cost of the things that you need. For example, food and housing. Notice, by the way, if you're as old as I am, and I'm not that old, I'm only 45, and if you're even older, when you remember when a loaf of bread cost, what, 15 cents? Gallon of milk cost 15, 20 cents, maybe? you paid rent was maybe $80, $90, $100 a month. And you granted you're only making about $6.57 an hour if you were doing good. But you know, with that you can support yourself. My dad supported a family of five on $6.50 an hour in 1968. Family of five. And granted, we didn't live luxuriously. We didn't have any damn Cadillacs or anything. But you know, we always had food on the table. Never any problems. Can't do that anymore. Not at $6.50 an hour. I make $9.50 an hour my day job, and even working full time 40-hour week, I barely get by as it is. I sometimes had to work when we had enough work for it, and there hasn't been a lot of work. I was generally working a few hours on my day off. I wanted to do my 2 days off, working 6 days a week. That's not the life any of us wanted, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the life any of us planned for. But it's the life we got because the Republican Party has been stealing from you. And they've been taking your money, they've been taking your tax money, and they've been doing God knows what with it. Mostly they've been stuffing their own pockets, which is what they're good at. Anyway, the big news yesterday, to get on with some of that, and you know, the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, as I've mentioned from time to time, I'm suffering from outrage overload. I mean, just scandal after scandal, things on top of one another, and all big, important things. Not talking about little, tiny things like who got a BJ and whether or not somebody wore the wrong outfit to a press conference or something like that. We're talking major, major stuff. And yesterday you had the trial of Scooter Libby, and he was convicted on four or five counts, and according to QAnon, if they're right, he could face up to 25 years in jail. Just another convicted felon added to the list. And, you know, the Bush administration talked about how, you know, wonderful and pure and grown up they were, and they came into office with several convicted felons to begin with. And if Bush pardons him, then, you know, it just only goes to show. And you know, what people are cynically saying is that he probably will write when his term ends. And maybe we should, and if we try to impeach, as the town of Vermont, QAnon mentioned that again, 35 certain towns voted for impeachment. And you can do that. There's a clause in the Constitution, the way things run, that allows the states to initiate an impeachment proceeding if the Congress is too cowardly to pursue it. And we've got there apparently a couple of Democrats, too, who are out there saying, well, maybe we shouldn't really impeach because, you know, that would make us look bad. And, shut up! Damn it, shut up! Put a pound your faces in. What are you, stupid? What's the president's approval rating? 29%? 29%? And what the hell are you scared of? If you stood up to Fox News, if you stood up to the Rush Limbaughs, if you stood up to the Hannitys, if you stood up to these bastards and fought back and cracked some damn skulls, you wouldn't be having these problems. We can throw all these tin horn dictators out in their ear and get our country back. As far as I'm concerned, we should get out there and just take their damn money back. And in fact, I'm in favor of giving it to the laziest of laziest people, the ones that they hate the most. Give it to every welfare queen around. Just take their damn money. And let's send all these little tin pot jerks over to Iraq and have them tried there. Let the Shia try them. Just, here you go. Pardon this. And I was reading some guy on Daily Kos kind of diary up, and God bless him because he has more courage than I do. To go into these websites like Free Republic and scumbag places like that and read the responses after the Libby verdict, and they were all like, this country, we're going to have to get a rope. You know, he's a patriot. He didn't lie. He didn't do anything. That prosecutor is a Democrat. You know, Patrick Fitzgerald is not a Democrat, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Republican. But, of course, these guys can't let the facts get in the way of their ideology. And their ideology is, we're always right and you're always wrong. Well, you know something? Screw you! What do you say about it? Screw you! That's my answer to you. If you're a right winger, you want to call on the, on my show and talk to me, screw you! I ain't talking to you no more. Time for talk is over. Time for discussion along those lines is over, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to pull out the baseball bat and go out and crack some skulls. I'm ready for it. As I keep saying, I got a bat with so many names on it, I had to get another bat. I'm sick and tired of it. Day in and day out. And little weaselly Democrats not wanting to do anything. That's what angers me more than anything else. These are the guys that should be standing up to it because they have the political clout to make it work. All right, we got a... man, oh man. I gotta calm down. What we're gonna do is we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna be back with Jim Yancey from the Jackson County Community Services Coalition down there in Mississippi. We'll be back with more on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm calm. I just get these bursts of Sicilian anger here. And I'm just ready. I'm just ready for it. Ladies and gentlemen, in conjunction with the unreportednews.net, there are several organizations down there in Mississippi Coast, in the Mississippi area, helping out people who have been affected by the results of Hurricane Katrina and the complete and utter callous and careless disregard of human life for the Bush administration. One of them is the Jackson County Community Services Coalition, and that their website is jccsc.org. That's a real tongue twister, jccsc.org. And the head of that organization, or one of the major members, is Jim Yancey, and we have him here on the line with us. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Or is it afternoon there?
Good afternoon. Well, no, it's still morning here. We're only an hour behind you.
Oh, okay. Good.
Actually, are you Central Time in Mississippi? I keep forgetting.
Yes, we are. We're Central Time.
Okay, I can't remember. Yeah, so you're the same time as me, Jim.
Oh, okay. Good.
So give us a status report. Give us an update on what's happening down there. And Sarge tells me he hears some good things, but he hears some bad things. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a mix. Well, we were out in the neighborhood again yesterday. The good news is that it has been the volunteers that have come down here from all over America that has helped rebuild the coast. I can't speak for Louisiana because I think Louisiana and all these agencies that are involved in the rebuilding and effort, we kind of live in a bubble, and our bubble is a 40 or 50 mile radius. So I sometimes hear reports over in Louisiana, but I can really just speak for Mississippi. But it's the volunteers that have really come in and saved the day for us, because they were here.
Still having people coming from all over the country?
All over America come down here from far away as Washington, New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, California, Arizona, and taking a week off, 2 weeks off, and come down here and in groups, church groups, youth groups, some skilled labor, some unskilled labor, and they go find a house. We've got it pretty organized. They locate a house, and then we point them in that direction. They basically go in and continue to renovate it. That's the good news. One of the good news. One of the bad, the difficult news is a lot of folks think that, you know, my gosh, don't y'all have this together yet? Aren't we back to normal? And we're far from back from normal. We got four major issues right now down here on the Gulf Coast. Number one is affordable housing for low-income folks. They've been forgotten, and we're still trying to sort that one out. Number two is insurance, and I don't know what's going to happen on that. That's a battle levels above us. We had a big major insurance company pull out of here, State Farm.
Well, you know, if insurance companies ever get to the point where they actually have to pay out money, they do everything they can to weasel out of it. Insurance is a scam, and I think everybody knows it.
Well, yeah. And then the third issue is mental health issues, which we are continuing to see problems down here. And then the fourth issue that we're coming across are folks with disabilities, that lack of transportation. In our county, we don't have a bus system, so how do folks get around? So, and you, when you already have some folks living on the edge of their life, and you bring in the storm of this size, it just implodes and makes it that much more worse for those folks already on the edge.
Right.
So we've still got just under 6,000 people in our county in FEMA trailers 18 months after the storm.
18? It's unbelievable. And you know, that, of course, is the importance of unreportednews.net and trying to keep everybody informed. And I do my best on this show to do that, because people just don't understand. And I've said before, maybe you think I'm being a little harsh about it, but to the Bush people and their financial backers, you guys aren't even human down there, Jim. And that's kind of the way I see it. If you're a low-income person, then that's pretty much it.
Well, the problem is there's, from my perspective, so there's two funding pipelines. There's the federal government. By the time the money, think of a pipeline that's 3 foot in diameter coming out of Washington, D.C. By the time it gets down here on the Gulf Coast, it's about 2 inches in diameter, and it's a trickle.
Right. Everybody's siphoning off a little bit off the top.
Yeah, so by the time it gets down, I think there's what been, I think I read a report about a month ago, about $110 billion in Louisiana and Mississippi has been spent. Well, where?
Yeah, probably going into some developer's pocket. Now, Sarge mentioned yesterday that he believes that the Freemasons are possibly blocking some of this funding. Do you know anything about that? Do you have any information along those lines?
No. I wouldn't know that. Sarge is more up to date on that. Our primary task is to get folks back in their home and find ways to locate three things. Our resources are three things: our manpower or woman power, getting bodies down here, getting materials down here, and then getting money in the area. We have a saying down here: you got to get the hay out of the barn and down on the ground so the cows can eat it. And
right.
The hay, for some reason, is stuck somewhere, and it's coming down in a trickle, but it's getting here. But the other pipeline is the pipeline that's working. I mean, that's the pipeline of the nonprofits or the agencies or the volunteer groups that want to come down here and help. I'm just content. That's what saved us. That's what saved us in Mississippi, and I don't know Louisiana status, but I'm sure it's helped them out too. Without those folks coming down, we would be in horrendous position right now.
Mm.
And the
and
problem
it's not good. It's not good as it is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I was in a house yesterday, and we've got a project called 100 Homes in 100 Days, and it's a little meaty to do it. And we've been met with some skepticism, but we've also met with folks that are very hopeful. But I was in a lady's house yesterday that we're hoping to renovate, and we're going to need volunteers to help with this project. And she was crying and saying she'd just about given up hope. Now, Saturday I met with three African-American ladies, and their husbands had all died since last October. And I said, were they sick? She goes, no, they just gave up. Now, that kind of stuff is unreported.
Mm. Yeah, Sarge was mentioning that yesterday.
And it goes all up and down the coast. Our senior citizen, if you read the obituaries, I would imagine you're going to see the death rates up. So it is a problem that, it's not an easy solution.
Oh, sure. And the problem here, Jim, is that you've got, as I mentioned earlier, it's outrage overload. You've got so many things going on. You've got the situation with the trial there. You've got the situation with Walter Reed. The ongoing situation in Iraq. I mean, there's so many really, really big, nasty things happening, and even something as big as what's going on in Mississippi kind of gets drowned in the tumult there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. Here's what I see going on. I'm just a fellow from Mississippi, and, you know, what the heck do I know? But if we don't get this right down here, rebuilding, you know, some folks are telling me it's going to take us 5 to 10 years to put these homes back in place. We're saying no. We can do it in 2 years. That's all we've got, because folks are human and they're not going to last 5 years waiting for their homes to come back in place. But here's what I see the problem is a piece of America is going away when we can't figure this out down here. A piece of America is going away when we can't resolve this Walter Reed thing. A piece of America is going away and starts falling into disarray in Iraq. Little by little, I call it death by duck bite. You ever seen a duck kill anybody?
Right, exactly.
They don't. And so what happens?
Death by paper cuts.
Yeah, one day we wake up and it's like, how do we get in this mess? And this is where we're headed if we don't get some folks up in here that are willing to stand up and right some things that are not right now, not only down here but all over the place.
I'm doing as best as I can. In fact, I was thinking about maybe, since my day job has been so slow, if I could find a way to arrange it, maybe come down there myself for a couple of weeks, maybe broadcast a show from down there and talk to some people.
Yeah.
But I'll have to see what I can work out, because my financial situation is not great to begin with. I don't even have the money to buy a bus ticket to go down there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I'm not suggesting it's a hopeless situation down here. We're making progress. But, but there are a lot of things, that obstacles in the way. The red tape of the government. I heard, was it President Bush on the radio the other day when he was over in America or someplace over in Georgia where that tornado hit, and I heard his I heard him say that he made the comment that the federal government can help somewhat over there, which was, and I have been watching the news lately, but what I got from that was that they could not be the rescue to end all. They could do a little bit, and that's really what's happened down here. I think in Louisiana, folks are waiting for the government to step in. This is kind of a broad statement, and they haven't stepped in that well. And down here in Mississippi, the difference is we just keep bringing volunteers down here and trying to build these homes back, you know, one home at a time.
Well, you know, to show how compassionate these people are, there was Newt Gingrich the other day during that conservative meeting they had recently, saying that, you know, well, it was the people in New Orleans, it was their own fault because 122,000 people couldn't get away from a hurricane. And of course, that wasn't the truth. The hurricane didn't affect New Orleans that much. It was the breaking of the levees that did it. Nobody really expected that.
Yeah, I mean, there was two, you're exactly right. There's two separate issues. The Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, and the next day, the levees broke in New Orleans. If the levees wouldn't have broken, we wouldn't be having this problem in New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, we would have a little bit of wind damage, but they wouldn't have had the damage if the levees wouldn't have broken. And the other thing is, you know, folks say, why don't you folks get out of stuff when it happens? But the problem is, a lot of people, particularly senior citizens, don't have transportation.
Right, they couldn't get out. There was no way. They were trapped.
That's
and
right.
They weren't getting any help from the federal government in leaving.
Right, right.
And I'm sure it was the same out in Mississippi. Now, I don't know if you all down there expected the storm to be that nasty. I know you saw it coming on the news. But I certainly think that, you know, you believe that the federal government was there to help you out. You know, and it really galls me to think about, what was it, 35 tons of money, cash money, getting just lost in Iraq. Nobody knows where it went to. And what that $3.5 billion could have done for the Gulf Coast.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Jim, let's do this. Let's get a little crowded here because our good friend Sarge is on line two. Can I bring him in? Let's have him come in and we can talk to him too.
Good.
Sarge, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Sarge. How are you? Long time no talk to.
Yeah, right. Since yesterday anyway, huh? I wanted to tell Jim first. My sister said her boss man talked to you, and since then he's treated her with a lot more respect at Walmart. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Jim,
what's the deal with that? Well, never mind. It's probably a personal thing.
Well, it's she works for Walmart, and you know how Walmart is.
Oh yeah.
And so they kind of look for reasons to mess with the employees, and Jim posting on the bulletin board there where you know that he was available to the people, and when he was talking with them, he mentioned me and unreportednews.net, and when they found out she had a brother that had a news outlet, they suddenly decided they better treat her just a little bit better than they had been.
They're always afraid of a little bad publicity.
Yeah, well, that was good. I'm glad. One thing that I wanted to highlight is the mental health issues down there. Let Jim talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, Jim Sarge mentioned this yesterday. Apparently, you have a very high suicide rate. What do you have on that?
Well, I was looking at some data yesterday. On the three coastal counties of Mississippi during the month of August of 2005, before Katrina hit, we had 8 ambulance runs on possible suicide attempts for the whole three coastal area. In the 2 months after that, we had 164 ambulance runs on possible suicide attempts. I don't have any more data. What we do know is the numbers have gone down, but here's the problem. We know that suicides have increased. We're still trying to locate the data on how much, but our bigger concern is because of the slow movement of the recovery process, particularly concerns for senior citizens who either were insured and the insurance is not going to cover it because they're still fighting back and forth, and these people are in their 60s and 70s, and they have no way to take on a mortgage and pay for it for the next 25 or 30 years. And what one of our concerns is the depression and anxiety rate among senior citizens. There was also a recent study done by Columbia down here that just came out in February of this year regarding parents and caregivers. And their anxiety and depression levels were 4 times higher than pre-Katrina, which we expect from this size of disaster. Well, we expect the numbers to be up. Our kids, this was a little disconcerting, 6 to 11-year-olds, in the last quarter of the spring semester in 2006, 29% of our kids were missing 10 days of school a year, and our teenagers, 41% of them were missing at least 10 days of school a year. That's the kind of stuff we don't hear about that falls under the radar. And
it's actually kind of a surprise to me that to hear that schools are even open under the conditions that, from what I understand, are happening down there.
Well, yeah, well, the schools were shut down for months, and I will tell you, they've done a marvelous job in getting the schools back up and running. However, the part of the problem is we had over 100,000 people in the six coastal counties, in the three coastal counties plus the three counties north, in FEMA trailers. And, you know, a FEMA trailer is not something that you can do a lot of homework in or watch TV, and they're not very big. And I'm not, you know, FEMA's had, they have enough of their, had a number of problems, but I don't think they ever envisioned, I don't think anybody ever envisioned these trailers to be in place for 18 months or 2 years, however long they're going to be here, just because of the size of this storm. It was like Camille in 69, but it was just so much bigger.
And the hurricane season starts again in a couple of weeks, doesn't it?
Starts June the 1st, and we dodged the bullet last year. For us, the hurricane season starts in Mississippi, usually in August. So that's why our push is to get as many folks back in their homes, because even a severe thunderstorm, these FEMA trailers are going to be shaky. I mean, mobile homes are shaky in severe thunderstorms.
Right.
So we still have a number of FEMA trailers in the six counties down here in Mississippi, and the quicker we can get them out and get them into secure housing, it's just going to be better all the way around. They're going to start feeling better about it, and the communities are going to be safer in the long run.
Well, one thing that I did notice when I was down there with the KPHX crew was the trailers are not really that securely anchored. That really scares me. And if a good wind comes by, they're going to topple.
I really don't even know what to say to that. I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, it just makes me sick to my stomach with all the other things going on and it's more than just the federal government not caring about it, because you know the Bush people don't really care, but there's still probably a lot of apathy coming from folks in other parts of Mississippi and Louisiana. Is that correct? Are you still having trouble with those areas as well?
Well, I would say that my guess is there's just a disconnect, because a lot of folks, even in Mississippi and probably Louisiana north of where we are, probably are thinking, you know, we're pretty much recovered, and that's not the case. This is just going to take a while. But I will tell you that it's a difficult road down here when you're down here helping folks, and it just breaks your heart when you see people giving up hope. But when you can go help them get back in their home, that just re-energizes you to go to the next one. So I know this sounds pretty simple, but it's kind of one step at a time, one home at a time, one day at a time. And, if we can get folks back in their homes within the next 2 years, that's what we're shooting for, then we're going to feel a whole lot better about this. Because I'll tell you, we don't have some of the folks I listen to are saying it's going to take 5 to 10 years. We don't, 5 or 10 years are 5 to 10 more seasons of hurricane, and
right,
we're fortunate this year. But much more than that, even if we have no hurricanes, it is the emotional well-being of folks that aren't back in their homes. They're not settled.
Well, I can speak from experience. I mean, I haven't had the my home taken out from under me, but I've had a pretty bad couple of years, and I suffered through some pretty strong depression and things like that. The loss of my wife, you know, being constantly unemployed and all that stuff. And I hate to say it, but I feel like I'm lucky compared to some of you guys down there, because, you know, at least we still, you know, I still have a place to stay, and a lot of these people don't. And I can only imagine the kind of stress that they're under. And what makes it worse, and this I can speak from experience, what makes it worse is just not knowing. You know, it's just not knowing what the future is going to be. And if you can look at a particular day and say, yes, this is when we're going to do this and this is when we're going to do that, it's something you can look forward to. But when you don't even know what's going to happen, that's what makes it worse.
Well, one good thing that I've seen is the way that people are responding, like Michael Steady. I believe you know Steady, don't you, Joe?
I believe I do, yeah.
He lives in Oregon now, and he's driven all the way from Oregon to San Antonio, Texas. He's down there today, and he's going to be trying to get here to my house in Columbia by this weekend, and then he's going to spend 30 days down with Jim. And Steady is a certified electrician. He can wire a house in a day. So he's going to be down there to help Jim shortly.
Yeah, anytime we can get, yeah, that's great. If we get somebody that's an electrician or a plumber down here, that's wonderful. And the analogy I think of, Joe, is, you know, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. And, you know, a marathon's, what, 26.2 miles or something. I'd say we're probably in about the 12th or 13th mile of this thing. So we just got to take a long, deep breath and keep a steady pace at it, because it's far from over.
Yeah, but you got to at least know with a marathon, you know what the length is. You know. Okay, you've gotten this far. I mean, you've run the 12, 13 miles, but you can't see the end of the road yet, and that's where the problem is.
Well, that's true. We can't see the end. And I think, you know, of course, my take on the, you know, my friends over in Florida, who are experts at this stuff, they tell me, said, you know, if you're going to do hurricane recovery and rebuilding, the one group you don't want involved is the federal government. They said it because of the red tape. You want their financial support, but you want them out of it as much as possible, because it just slows the process down. And I think part of the problem for the folks down here, and probably for Louisiana too, is they don't understand the red tape and they get very frustrated.
And I think I can say, if I can just be partisan about it, I think if you had people in government who understood the nature of government and who believed in government, then it would be a different story. But when you have a bunch of people running government who hate the very idea of it, then you're going to get very, very different results. I think if this had been done under, say, a New Deal government, it would have been a very different story.
Well, that's kind of what we need, a New Deal down here, to get these to kind of re-energize the process, because it's a in some arenas down here, it's a very difficult process. And we still have people that are coming down here trying to run a scam and you know, and still, you know, what we have is we have the very, very best coming out in a whole lot of people, and we have the very worst coming out in a handful of people.
Right, I'm in favor of going out and just having a little mob there and hanging some of these guys that are trying to run scams off people.
Let me say one last thing, then I'm going to hang up. There's a group, Veterans for Peace, that's making a march starting the 17th, and they're going to Jackson County, arrive on the 26th, and they're going to stay till the 31st, and they're going to help out Jim and take pictures and document things that's going on in the area. One thing I did want to ask Jim, I was going to call him later and ask him, but I'll ask him while I got him, if he could include something in Ocean Springs, because the Ocean Springs record has said they'd cover it if it went into Ocean Springs. So if there's something you can
Absolutely.
Put in there. All righty, good.
We're hooked into probably, just in Moss Point and Pascagoula, about 20, 25 churches that are hosting volunteers. So, yeah, we can sure make that happen.
Okay, because they really... Ocean Springs Records said they would be happy to, but they cover Ocean Springs, so therefore they had to go into Ocean Springs where they could cover it. But I figured that wouldn't be too big a problem, and I already talked to Sherry about it. But this is how you get it out. We got to get more people involved and more people aware of the circumstances that exist. And,
well, Well, publicity helps, Sarge. Publicity helps. I mean, I keep bringing up historical point of view. One of the big drivers behind the liberal movement or progressive movement at the turn of the last century was Jacob Riis's book, How the Other Half Lives, which was just mostly photographs of how poor people were living in the slums of New York City.
Well,
so,
if it helps any, I'll be down there on the 27th, and I'll just be staying today, but I'll be down there. If I encourages anybody to get there, then come on down. I'll be glad to meet with you. I'm going to hang up, Joe, and thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sarge. And, Jim, we're going to have to let you go, too, because we're coming up on a break here. Jim, I'm not kidding about coming down there. If I can possibly work it out with my day job and try to find some you know funding to get the trip down there, I would love to go just for a week or so, go down there and talk to some of the people you've got, some of the volunteers and some of the people living down there, and just to let more people know about what's going on, because that's important.
It is. We'd love to have you, and it'll change your life just to spend the week with these folks that lives have not changed in 18 months.
Right, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can. Jim Yancey from the Jackson County, let me say that right, from the Jackson County Community Service Coalition, jccsc.org. Jim, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, all right, we got to pay some bills here. Let's take a little break, and we'll be back with the final bit on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's bewatersmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and damn it, that didn't do anything to calm me down. It just got me angrier. Dag nabbit. And you know, the hard part for me, ladies and gentlemen, is not to cuss, okay? Because I am from Brooklyn. And as I told some people, one guy was telling me not to use profanity or that I was doing it wrong or something like that. And I said, listen, buddy, I'm from Brooklyn. We invented cursing. We invented it. You know what I'm saying to you, mother? That's what I'm saying to you. So it's a... It's a step for me not to just to not go off and really scream at these people, because I see stuff like that and it just makes me sick to my stomach. Not so much because of it's happening by itself, but because it's on top of all the other garbage and nonsense that's been going on since these bastards took power. And it's been going on long before that, too, the propaganda. And, you know, the Rush Limbaugh types, the neo-aborts, they're just laughing at the people in Mississippi. They think that's funny. Oh, a guy died in the trailer home. Ah! I say what we ought to do is, you know, when revolution comes, and I'm looking for that revolution. I'm just waiting for it. I don't care if I get my butt kicked royally, but I'm going to go out there with a bat and just... People say, well, you should get a firearm, really. I said, no, to hell with that. The hell with that. Give me a bat. Make a nice, satisfying crack on a skull. That's what I want. And I think what we ought to do is take the guys like the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and all that stuff and just put them in these FEMA trailers and let them live their lives for the next two to five years like these people lived. And you know what really sickens me is that guy like Limbaugh, he was on welfare for a while. He doesn't like to brag about it. He doesn't like to talk about it. But he was on welfare for a while, and he has mentioned it on his show from time to time, I think. But how he got his job, his daddy owned the damn radio station. That's how he got his job. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't kidding about that. I don't know if I can arrange it, and I'm really not sure it's going to be possible for me to do it, but if I can possibly get down there for a week to talk to people, you know, and the hard part would be clearing it with my job, because while I haven't worked a whole lot, if it gets busy, they need me, and I really don't want to lose this job right now. It's about the only real money I'm making lately, so I don't know. I certainly want to, because I really do believe in the power of publicity and getting this stuff out, I'm just worried that with all the other things going on, it's just going to get, you know, lost in the fray. It's just going to get lost in the crowd. Because there's so many things, and like Jim said, we lose a piece of America here, we lose a piece of America there. And it's just this a slow death. And you wonder what the ultimate motives of the Bush people are, and then after a while you just think, you know what, the hell with what their motives are, just get them out of power. Just get rid of them. And one of the ways we spread the publicity, ladies and gentlemen, is with the Head On Radio Network. And I am proud to be part of this network. And it just frustrates me, like I mentioned yesterday, to hear that Guy James, for reasons of money, is not going to be able to continue to do his show. And that just roils me. It just adds to one more level to all the other stuff that's going on, that we lose a voice like that. For no good reason, really. For no good reason. Now, we all work very, very hard here at the Head On Radio Network. From Agnes and Bob, of course, who are partners and run the show. John Fox out in Australia doing a lot of the technical work. Zach helping out. All the hosts, myself, Jeff Allen Wolf, Bruce Birch. Everybody, we all work our asses off because we believe in this. And because getting the word out sometimes is the only way you can combat this stuff, to let people know what the truth is. And I asked everybody yesterday, and I'm going to ask again today. In fact, I would have talked about it more, but we had more important things to talk about today. I was very impressed with the number of emails that I got yesterday, and I want to encourage people to do that again. If you've never... listen to the show before, if this is your first time listening and you like it. If you've only been listening for a few months, or if you've been listening since I've been doing radio, since back in the Joey Jojo show days, and you've just been following me, and you haven't written me yet, write me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. And you don't have to write anything inside except, you know, maybe like a couple of words here in the text just to make sure that it gets through. But in the subject header, just put, I'm listening. I got emails yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. I got emails from all across the country. I got some emails from Canada. I got emails from Mexico. And I know there's people out there across the world who are listening, because that's the wonderful thing about the internets. Just email me, joe@cupjoe.com. If you can't donate money, that's fine. I understand. Everybody's having tough times, you know. If you don't, if you're part of a corporation and you can't afford to be a sponsor, I understand that. But if this network is going to continue, we need investors. And the only way we're going to get investors is if they know what our listenership is. So if you just send me an email that says, I'm listening, within the subject header, and that's all you got to do, just send it to joe@cupjoe.com, and that way I can get I can point to say, here, these are as many people who is writing me. And I happen to know, just because I'm me, that for every email that gets sent, there's probably a dozen or so people who don't write an email. And they're asking me how many emails did I get. I can't reveal specific information. Let's just say I got a lot more than I was expecting to get. That information will be given to people on a need to know basis, and at this point in time, nobody needs to know. But I did get a few. I did get more than I expected. Not as much as I'd like. And I know not as many of people out there listening, because I know there's a couple of thousand out there listening. So send me that email, and I'm going to be harping on you every single day. I'm going to be harping on you to do that. If you haven't sent an email yet, send it. joe@cupjoe.com. And that way I can know, just get an idea of how many people seriously want to keep the show going. And I'm very glad, I'm very happy for some of the responses I got. Some of you wrote, you know, when you wrote nice messages saying how much you support me, and some people are listening on their iTunes, and that's great. That's great. I love the fact that we're on iTunes. It gets us to a much wider audience. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just spending a lot of my time right now just trying to keep from flying off the handle after hearing, you know, after going through that interview and after just reading the news, and you know, listen and listening. Sometimes I don't really pay that much attention to what the right wingers have to say, but sometimes I get a little peek in, like what the guy did on Daily Coast and going into their websites and seeing what they're writing, and they're just sick people, ladies and gentlemen. And you know something? They have the right to be sick people. They have the right to be prejudiced. They have the right to be racist. They have the right to be all of that within themselves. But when they start putting this into practice, that's when I say, no, no. And when it gets to the point where I'm getting pissed off enough about it, and enough people get pissed off enough about it, we are, and I hope we do take to the streets one of these days, ladies and gentlemen. That may be the only thing. That may be the only thing that we can do. Let me, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Let me go ahead and start. It's a little early, but I'm going to go ahead and start giving my thank yous. First, I want to thank Agnes. Well, let's just try to do it. You know, I've been trying to get a more regular script for this, so let's just go out and say the Cup of Joe radio show is produced by the Head On Radio Network. Agnes Kincaid out there in the studios in West Virginia. Bob Kincaid is the co-owner, and you can, of course, hear Bob Kincaid. Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news, UnreportedNews.net. And I want to thank all of the other hosts on the Head On Radio Network, Jeff Allen Wolf, who follows me. He'll be coming up right up after me, full 3 hours of the Wolf Pack with Jeff Allen Wolf. We got Guy James, for as long as we've got him, John Fox, Bruce Birch, and, of course, the inimitable, I can't even say it right, Bob Kincaid. all here on the Head On Radio Network, and all of us working very hard to keep you informed. All right, it looks like we just got about a few more seconds left, so just let me say my goodbyes. Again, Jeff Allen Wolf is next on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. Give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. Until then, I'll be back tomorrow, and hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe, I crave a plate of Dave, open a jar of John, don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug, with the creamer of Steve, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of Matt upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean.
The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Internet Archive authenticates 9/11 BBC video. It is just not Walter Reed. Soldiers share troubling stories of military health care across the United States. Voter turnout among the young still lags. Why? Edwards Camp capitalizes on Ann Coulter slur. Al-Qaeda targets Prince Harry. China to increase military spending. Gallup poll asks, is Al Gore boom for president just hype? Edwards sends video to 70,000 Iowa homes. Earth's crust is missing in mid-Atlantic. Greenhouse effect is a myth, says scientists. Kremlin critic shot in front of his Maryland home. Giuliani up 25 points over McCain, a new poll shows. Iran nears industrial and fuel production. Scientists unite to push Bush on climate. Study sees harmful hunt for extra oil. Judge restricts New York police surveillance. Year of the pig signals conflicts before New World Order, says soothsayers. The happiest man in the world? Well, you can learn how he does it, says academic-turned-Buddhist monk. And finally, and the sports fans who drink the most wine are? New figures are released. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.